Addicts clean, are you listening? Sober drunks, nose is glistening. A beautiful show, we're right here, you know. Recovery 101, a wonderland. Gone away is the old life. Here to stay is the new life. We do a fun show, we're right here, you know. Recovery 101, a wonderland. In the meta, we can build a program and pretend that it's from Jimmy K. He'll say, are you sober? We'll say, no, man. But Bill can do the job the AA way. When we're clean, ain't it thrilling? Sober drunks are a-chillin'. We'll frolic and play the recovery way. Recovery 101, a wonderland. Recovery 101, a wonderland.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you to Bruce and Shelley for the Recovery Winter Wonderland jingle. For this, the Christmas show. Welcome to Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NA, OA, CA, GA, PA, SLA, SLA, ACR, RR, MM, DRA, HA, PA, FA, or any of them, their guys.
Or any of the Anons.
We don't speak for Rankin Bass Productions. We don't speak for Santa. We don't speak for the Santa Claus Day Lane Parade. We don't speak for Miracle on 34th Street. We don't speak for the Christmas Story, Christmas Vacation.
He's on a run.
Okay.
Or Scrooged.
Welcome to Recovery 101. Your name is?
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Just calm down, Shelley. Calm down. Well, she's raring to get going. What do you got going on this week, Shelley? What's happening?
Work.
Is it going to be another one of those?
Let's
get this show going. Let's banter. Work.
It's the holiday season.
I have doctor's appointments coming up. This week I'm very happy about. Most people aren't really that thrilled to go to the doctor. I am. I've been having a lot more RA flare-ups lately.
I need
to have my medication adjusted or something so I can walk. Well, walking is good.
I got to tell you, too, we always ask, you know, what's going on this week. Shelley, every day, has these things that she likes to call epic posts on Facebook. There'll be paragraph after paragraph after paragraph of the common stuff that's happening every day that people are like, oh, that's so funny. And then I said, what did you do this week? Nothing. You can get like a week of epic posts every day that dozens and dozens and dozens of people are commenting on, saying, I love the way you write. It's so funny. All this stuff you're doing is hilarious.
It's just like doing a fourth step. Once I've written it and it's out there, it's gone. I don't think about it anymore. You know, that's my fourth and fifth. My daily fourth and fifth is on Facebook.
Oh.
It's only about stupid crap. Not really about important stuff. Yeah.
Most of our fours were always about stupid crap.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Somebody once called me the Seinfeld of Facebook because I talk a lot
about
nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Perfect.
I thought you'd bring up sardines.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's up with sardines?
Sardines. Part of my ongoing...
See? Here it comes.
there are going to have to be a lot of changes coming up here if I want to actually continue to be mobile for a long time without having to have too many joint replacements.
Uh-huh.
Talk to my brother. He's got RA, but he's had like 15 joint replacements. He's a bazillion. I mean, he's well-versed in the whole joint replacement thing.
And he had a lot of money put aside to have it done.
Yeah, he put a lot of money into that. And he's pretty mobile, and he's had it for like 30-something years. Because he got it when he was a little kid. I just developed it 2 years ago, and suddenly, you know, at first I was in a lot of pain, then they put me on a medication, I felt better, and now suddenly in the last month, I've had the most amazing set of flares that have just had me, like, there have been days when I literally had almost no ability to get from, like, the bed to the kitchen. It was like walking on stumps. It was just horrible. So I made appointments for my doctors and stuff, and then my rheumatologist and my regular doctor, and then was advised to do some research on some reputable websites because some things are going to have to change. Like I have to eat certain things, and
Like sardines.
I'm going to have to have a different sort of, not exercise regimen, but, you know, I have to actually move at certain, blah, blah, blah.
She's about to become the weed queen of New Orleans.
No, I am not.
CBD.
CBD, but that's not, there's no THC in that. It doesn't affect you from the neck up. We'll see. We'll see what my rheumatologist says.
There's no tetrahydrocannabinol in it.
No. But the sardines are actually at the very top of the list of things that are good for people with rheumatoid arthritis. And I really am grossed out by sardines, but I'm in enough pain, and as we all know, pain is a great motivator. I'm in enough pain to do anything short of a felony to feel better.
I mean, isn't sardines are like really salty, right? Because I know you like...
They're not particularly salty. They're fishy, but they're not salty.
So they're not like anchovies.
No, they're not like anchovies.
And anchovies are not the same thing. You can't get... Because, you know, anchovies are... you love salt. Anchovies are really salty, and people have commonly got those on pizza forever.
Yeah, no, they're not anchovies. It's a whole different fish. But I did it. I ate a can of sardines day before yesterday, and I survived it. Sardines
I use them both as bait.
Sardines are good.
Yeah, there's a list of things that are good for people with RA, things that are better, and things I should not be eating. Like, I have to cut my beef consumption down to, like, twice a month, which saddens me greatly.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because she hates sushi.
Because there's a compound, like, I know the other day I called it uric acid, but that's not what it is, because that's pee. It's something, sounds something like that.
Ah, uric, I knew him well.
That can cause inflammation in people with RA.
Oh, okay.
And I have to increase my consumption of things that are high in vitamin D. It's just a whole big, you know, God, this has gone on long enough, and I'm boring myself now, so can we move on?
Well, I was going to ask Mark, and I know Shelley loves the sports talk, but... Give us your Super Bowl prediction. Who's going to be in it and who's going
to
win it?
Kills me to say.
Huh?
It kills me to say.
So it's got to be Dallas.
And?
That's what kills me to say. It could actually be Dallas and Oakland.
Ew.
The Cowboys and Raiders.
Oh, I hate it.
So this is like a blackout year for me because that's just disgusting.
Well, and you know
Cubs
what?
The Cubs win. Trump wins. And the Cowboys and Raiders make it to the Super Bowl.
How does Better get right happen? With God.
Yep.
Because the apocalypse is coming.
If a bearded guy in sandals shows up, I'm going to listen to him.
Yeah.
Well, shit, if a bearded guy in a big red suit with boots shows up, I'm going to listen to him too.
Yeah, okay.
So, let's say, theoretically... It's Cowboys, and because we know the one thing that's weird about football, and you've heard it many times, is any team in the NFL can beat any other team depending on the particular things of that day.
Except the Cleveland Browns.
It always happen. So, let's say, for argument's sake, that it's the Dallas Cowboys and the Oakland Raiders.
Yep.
Who wins?
Dallas.
And you know what? The funny thing is, I don't usually root for Dallas, but I've always liked Dallas. But I'm more of a player guy.
No,
so.
You never liked Dallas. You like the cheerleaders.
No.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
No, don't,
but I've always been a player guy. There's. It's like I was never a Detroit Lions fan, but I was a big Barry Sanders fan. Yeah. You know, I was, my team is the Bears.
But
I loved the Cowboys when there was Troy Aikman and there was, you know, Emmitt Smith, and I even before that Tony Dorsett, and, you know, guys like that. It's like I loved all those guys. Yeah. You know, I wasn't a big Dolphins fan, but I liked Dan Marino. Yep. Wasn't a big Denver fan, but I liked Shannon Sharp and John Elway. You know, I'm a very player oriented person.
I mean, I was a big Dallas Cowboy fan until everybody else became one.
Yeah, well, like way back when it was Tom Landry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The guy in the suit and the hat.
Yeah.
He looked stern.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. The only coach, and I know there's been a lot of great coaches, the only coach I like better than him is just like, because he was just like such a coach looking coach. Mm-hmm. You know, come in the overcoat and the hat, and, you know, I mean, he just looked like a guy that would be badass.
Yep.
Then there was the guy who was didn't have that look at all, but you just knew that, you know, that he was like that was Ditka. You know, I just got the idea that Ditka would just chew guys up in the locker room.
Ditka looked like he wanted to kick your ass every time you saw him.
Yeah. Well, he used to play, right? Wasn't he a linebacker or something? Yeah. I always waited for Dick Butkus to be a coach. Shelly's like, I don't know if it's shut up. Shut up. You know what that means.
What does that mean, Bruce?
Oh, it's time for the busy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we've got shout-outs to a bunch of people. Somebody, Phil M., Fran, Jack, Jane, Randy, Mitch, James, Susan, Mark, Marty, Neil, Lee, Bill, Georgette, Dan, Joey, and Dakota.
Hey.
What?
Did you say Mitch?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, there's somebody named Mitch that followed recently.
Yeah, I said
she
Mitch.
Got him.
Got him!
Fran sent this story in.
Fantastic.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, do you remember last week we had a story about a police department that tweeted that if you drive drunk, I will find you, I will arrest you, and I will make you listen to One Direction cover bands all the way to jail.
And now all the new ones have come out.
Well, apparently Nickelback didn't like being used in one of those.
Yep.
A police department in Canada.
Yep.
Posted much the same thing. It said, if we figure you are foolish enough to get behind the wheel after drinking, then a little Chad Kroeger and the boys is the perfect gift for you.
Little Nickelback.
Nickelback did not appreciate being
really
the butt of
Nickelback.
That joke. They did not like being the butt of that joke. A rep for the band contacted the Kensington Police Department and demanded that they take down the post, which had already gone viral, so it was too late by then. They obliged and apologized and said they never meant to embarrass the band. And hopefully they think that hopefully the prospect of fines and fines, suspended licenses and jail time will be enough to keep people from driving drunk.
Which lawyer's office from the band do you think called them? And
yeah. Hey, note to Nickelback, Rule 62.
Well, and you know what? I got to tell you, there's a song called How You Remind Me. Well, actually, that wouldn't really fit. But it's a song about make someone listen to that. Not because it's a bad song, it's a great song, but it'd be a great song to hear when you're drunk. Especially if you're not nice to your wife.
Okay.
Fran sent another story in.
Aww.
Yes. This one is I thought was interesting. Bella, which Fran also has a dog named Bella. Bella is a tiny Maltese Pomeranian mixed dog that went missing in Florida after her owner let her outside to go to the bathroom. She ran off and didn't come back that time. He looked, he put up posters, he tried everything to get her back. Finally realized she's just gone, thought maybe she'd gotten hit by a car or whatever.
And?
That was in 2013.
And?
Last week, a dog pound in New Jersey called him. Said, we have your dog.
Oh,
she! I know she got from Florida to New Jersey. She was microchipped,
she
and
Jewish?
Apparently, I know back and forth between New Jersey and
Florida. Yeah,
yeah. She'd been microchipped. Apparently, she hadn't been captured before then. They pulled the dog in, found the microchip, and called him up.
Wow!
And he and his wife were ecstatic. Said, she recognized us immediately and couldn't stop kissing us. They don't know how the dog ended up in New Jersey or where it's been for 3 years. But it has now been reunited with its owner.
And it feels so good.
Reunited and it feels
that one's
so
coming.
Good. Reunited and it's understood.
Okay, are you done?
No.
Yeah, I saw an awe story like that with a dog. These people see their dog get stolen from their house. And they start, and it's this long-haired German Shepherd. They put, you know, pictures of the dog all over. They get about 100 tips. They say, we've seen that dog. They go, they find this woman walking the dog down the street who had shaved all the hair off it. And they're calling the dog. The dog's running to him. She's like, this is not your dog. They took it to the vet, and the vet said, oh, that's absolutely their dog. You should have heard this woman. It's not their dog. It's my dog. I got it from a shelter. And they're like, we have video of you stealing the dog from the house. But they got the dog back just in time for the holidays.
People.
Yay.
Good.
In Australia.
Leroy Jenkins.
Police officers in, I will never be able to pronounce this, Maroochydore,
whatever. I've never heard of it, so that's fine.
It's in Queensland, Australia. Were quite alarmed when they got a phone call from a man who said he found body parts in the ocean and was bringing them in because he thought that they were evidence of a murder.
Well,
when he,
or a surfer.
When he got to the police station, he informed them that it wasn't so much a body part, but he found a breast implant floating in the water. And he assumed that someone had been killed and cut up and the breast implant had come out.
And bubbled to the surface?
It was a jellyfish.
Oh.
he scooped the jellyfish out of the water, stuck it in a plastic bag, alerted the police department to the breast implant floating in the ocean because clearly someone has died.
That's, well, and you know, there are
that's
some
funny.
There's some jellyfish down there that are like no joke killers too.
Yeah, I mean,
guy's
he could have gotten
not
hurt.
Dead.
But I saw the picture of the jellyfish, and I mean, I wouldn't say if I had seen it, I would have gone, "Oh, a jellyfish." So you can't really see where he's coming from, but it was a clear jelly-like blob. So you
isn't
know,
isn't Australia like home to like 17 of the world's deadliest creatures?
They have
or
nine
something?
Out of the ten, top 10 deadliest creatures. Yeah. Yes. This, which is why I will never. I love all our Australian listeners. I think the pictures of Australia are beautiful, and I will continue to look at them. But I will never go there because
I would go to Australia in a second.
It's like
apparently
lethal
Shelley,
to humans.
Apparently, Shelley will not be with me, but I
no,
would go there in
no,
a second.
They have a spider there that will chase you down and kill you. A funnel web—that's what it's called.
Where's the place that gets the when it like snows spiders? Have you
it's
seen
in
that?
Australia.
And like every tree, like everything is just like covered in
yes,
webs.
Okay. Anyway.
I got a movie for you for Christmas. It's called Arachnophobia. It's got John Gooden in it.
Yeah, no. I'm not ever going to watch that. Fran sent this to Fran was on fire.
Double feature, Jaws and Arachnophobia?
Yeah.
No. Fran was on fire.
This girl is on fire.
Woman
shark phobia.
A woman
from the Science Channel.
Can I do this story now?
Yes,
or are you
may.
Guys just going to sit there and make fun of my phobias?
Sure.
A woman in Oregon called the police to complain because there was a man walking past her house that wouldn't stop whistling Semisonic song Closing Time. And
closing
she could hear it through the window.
Time.
This. People, you are way too sensitive. I mean, it's like the entire country. We
yeah,
call the police.
Put on
because,
your big girl pants.
Yeah. You cannot call the police because there was not enough salt on your Ritz crackers. Stop whining about everything. Don't call the police every 5 minutes. Or alternately, complain that the police aren't doing anything.
Yes, of course. Because they're busy out there answering calls about salty and crackers.
And guys whistling semisonic songs. I mean, come on. And I will have you know that I could very well be that guy with the way I get song stick syndrome. I find myself with a song stuck in my head, and the next thing you know, I'm humming it for 3 days.
The only difference between Shelley
it's
and this woman in Oregon is she just
that
hasn't called
anymore.
The cops.
Because
all I have to do is go, I. And her see, you guys can't see it, but I just got the look.
The eye roll of doom.
Or if I could say, do you remember what happened last Christmas?
Yes, I do. We didn't put up a tree because we were too dang lazy. That's what happened last Christmas. So, the woman called the police. The police actually came out to see the harassing whistler, who had moved on by that point. However, they tracked him down a few blocks away because he was walking home still whistling the same song.
Did he live with his mother?
I was going to say, I thought they went to his mother's house and found him.
He just had the song stuck in his head and was whistling it on the way home. Wasn't expecting to have the cops called on him.
Closing time.
Give a little whistle.
Fran sent this story in.
Fantasies.
I know. Well, she sends me once in a while. She'll send me an email that's got like 8 links in it to different. Like she just like saves up all her stories,
puts them all together.
Yeah.
Okay.
This happened in London, in the UK.
Foggy London town.
Hello, mate.
Priscilla Terramolling was called to the school where her daughter Annalisa attended. She's 7 years old.
Annalisa Molly?
Annalisa had a new teacher. And the teacher was not really thrilled with Annalisa because she couldn't stop laughing because the teacher's name is Miss Butts.
That's funny.
So, to a seven-year-old, having a teacher named Miss Butts.
Oh, my God, to a seven-year-old? Awesome.
Annalisa was apparently the only child that couldn't stop laughing.
The only thing it could be better is if the teacher's assistant's name was Captain Underpants.
The teacher got quite offended, sent the child to the principal's office. The principal called the parent. Parent came out to school. They had to have, you know, come to
parent
Jesus meeting
stop
here.
Laughing.
The parent is like, you people are like making too much of a big deal out of this. You're only making it worse. She's a seven-year-old kid. That's what they laugh at. You know, and so now the teacher doesn't want the child in the class. The child doesn't want to be in that class because now she feels like she's getting picked on by the teacher. And the principal's office won't move her out of the class because they, you know, it's bureaucracy.
That seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, move the kid to a different class.
Wait, you know your last name is Butts.
Yeah.
Yeah, like she's never heard that joke before.
And you haven't got a sense of humor about it. Yeah. Well, My last name, my maiden name was Choate. I was called Smelly Goat for 18 years. So you either get a sense of humor about it or you stop hearing it or something.
Anything.
Yeah.
Hey.
Wow. And if you're going to be an elementary school teacher.
If you're going to teach 7-year-olds, just be aware.
My name is Bruce. When I was young, a lot of the gay jokes were Bruce. So what happens?
Yes, Bruce.
What happens? The TV show Batman becomes popular. No help whatsoever.
No.
Adam West in a purple jumpsuit looking as gay as, you know, Adam West. Then, you know, as time goes on, Springsteen becomes popular. I really don't like Springsteen. No help. Willis? A little bit of help there. And then Bruce Almighty. But when I was young, I got crucified with gay
don't
jokes.
Don't bring me down.
Oh, my God. Bruce. ELO? ELO almost threw me back into a fit. Yeah, everyone was singing that around me. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Okay, in Oakland, California, I just heard about this today. This is really, really bad.
Is this the fire?
Yeah, there was a warehouse where they were having a rave, basically. The warehouse caught on fire. The death toll at the moment stands at 24, but there are many people still missing.
I've heard 40.
Oh, is it up to 40 now? Because this is from the story was published earlier this afternoon. They're still sifting through the rubble. The place, it was a huge warehouse, massive party, hundreds of people, and the thing just went up like a Roman candle.
They said it was like a maze trying to get in.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what happens is, because I knew someone for a while, a guy in the program who used to promote raves, and he said that the biggest problem that they have are getting places that are big enough to hold a really big rave. And he says usually they're kind of like these semi-abandoned buildings where you can rent it from the property owners, but you have to sign all these releases and everything. They're like, look, you know, we don't do any upkeep on these buildings. These buildings have been empty for a long time. And he said you got to be really extremely careful. And he used to pay guys like $2,000, these building inspectors, to go in and look just to see if they could have it there. Because he said he'd have places where it was all ready to go. It looks like they were going to do it. And these building inspectors are like, I wouldn't put people in here at all. And then they'd have to look for another place.
This is ready to go up like a tinderbox.
Yeah.
Yeah. This place was...
that's sad.
It was a building called the Ghost Ship. It was an illegal... Oh. It was basically a squat, an illegal home for many people, especially for artists that have no money. And
they should have gone to Detroit.
But lots of turpentine.
Yeah, they would all get together and do their art there, and then they had this rave there, and
actually, that's a really good point. You know, a lot of artists, there probably is a lot of paint thinner around there. Wow.
Yeah.
And they could have moved to Detroit and gotten a house for free, as long as they lived in it for whatever it was, 5 or 7 years, in that big new artist community they're building there.
Okay, this story is... the next story is out of... Oh, London in the UK.
Fuck.
Froggy London town.
Yes.
I haven't heard from Katie anymore.
She just had a birthday. Her belly button birthday was the other day. She's on my friends list on Facebook.
Oh, well, you know what it is. She's been too involved in those pole dancing classes.
Yeah, all her pole dancing competitions. She's probably winning some ribbons by now, I would think, with all that practice.
Participation?
No, she's probably up to first place by now, I would guess. 59-year-old woman
Britain's
in
got
London
talent.
Was taken to the hospital. She was shaking. Her thinking was muddled. She couldn't speak properly. She was incoherent. She was vomiting.
She have young children?
So, no. So she was taken to the hospital where they discovered that she had hyponatremia, which is also called water intoxication. And the
Shelley's doctor, on the verge of that all the time.
I know. I read stories like this every now and then where people end up in the hospital from water intoxication. I'm thinking,
I have that.
I drink a lot of water. Well, and iced tea. But, I mean, you know.
I've never seen anyone drink as much water as Shelley.
Apparently, water intoxication admissions to hospitals are on the rise because everyone thought, you have to stay hydrated. And the water bottle companies are, of course, pushing their wares. And it's very much in the public eye to make sure you're drinking enough water. Stay well hydrated. Apparently, you don't need to stay quite that hydrated because what happens is you consume more liquid than your kidneys can process. Your sodium level bottoms out, and you are in danger of dying from a heart attack or respiratory distress.
Whoops.
That's why Shelley pours salt on everything she eats. Because the amount of water she drinks.
Maybe that's why I like salt so much. I don't know. And finally with this, we have an update. Now, I'm sure you remember the story of the gentleman, Mohammed Abad, from Edinburgh, Scotland, who was in a car accident and he was attached somehow. He got trapped in the door and was dragged behind a car and had his genitals torn off.
Yes.
Oh.
And doctors decided he was a good candidate for the first ever attempted bionic penis implant.
So how many porn movies is he making now?
And then remember there was the porn star who, because he was also, you know, a 40-year-old virgin.
Yes, who said she'd do him.
Yes, the porn star in England said that she would like to help him out there.
Right.
Yes.
Well.
Did she?
Yes, she did. It's the first and only time he's ever had sex. His bionic penis is 8.5 inches long.
Good for him.
It becomes erect by pushing a button under his testicles. Because
you gotta be careful what you sit
allows,
on.
Boop. I know.
Don't sit on any kind of bumpy seat.
I know.
A saddle.
Oh. Yeah. Back in the saddle again.
Well, it's a robotic, you know, Weaver. Where was the other part?
Is there sensation?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Anything out of it?
Was it good for him or just for her?
I don't know.
In which case, who pays who?
He doesn't say anything about that in the story when they're interviewing him. What he's saying is he would like to let women know that they could stop messaging him now because he doesn't have a lot of time for sex because he works 14-hour days and he's getting like 50 messages a day from women who want to test drive his willy. Doesn't matter what he looks like. They just want to take a ride on the bionic penis.
They hear eating a
hook. God, I kind of want one now.
They hear eating a hook and they're interested.
Yeah, I kind of want one now.
Yeah. So they think, I am quoting him here. They've heard about my bionic penis and they want to try it out. They're all very intrigued and they think I can make love for hours. It's not that I don't want to, and I do get many offers, but I am so busy with work. I work 14-hour shifts every day, and by the time I get home, I'm just too tired for sex.
This guy needs some psychological help.
You know, he got the world's first bionic penis and he's too tired for sex.
Take it out for a drive, pal.
No, you know what you should do?
You have a duty.
You know what?
Yes.
It's bionic. Lay on your back, go to sleep, and tell him to hop on.
Push the button under my genitals
every 20 minutes.
That's true.
Just push the button under my junk and it'll
there's a button.
Be ready to go.
What if it's got a timer like a coffee maker where it shuts off every 2 hours?
He
doesn't have that caution of if you stay erect for 4 hours, go see a doctor.
No, just push the button.
First of all, I never agreed with that. If I stay erect for 4 hours, I'm going to see my agent.
There you go.
Okay, and that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Recovery 101 Radio is a program based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more like going to coffee afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. We used to suffer from insanity. Now we enjoy it. Find us at recovery101.net.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. The Christmas Show, starring Shelley.
Yay.
Mark.
Yay.
And
Bruce.
And featuring Bruce.
Yay.
No, it's starring Bruce.
No, it's starring Shelley and Mark.
So I found this on the internet. You know, since it's the Christmas Show, I thought that we'd have a little story time.
Oh, a little story time?
Oh. Yes. Oh, so everybody, you know, get your jammy, your fuzzy jammies on and gather around the monitor.
Wow.
This has been apparently kicking around back east. I've never seen it before. And there's no attribution, so we don't know who wrote it. It is called The Night Before Christmas, Big Book Style.
Okay.
And I'm sure you guys will have things to say. 'Twas the night before Christmas, we were all in the club enjoying a meeting instead of a pub. The ashtrays were clean and the coffee was made. The big books were out and we all had prayed. When out in the lot there arose such a clatter, we all jumped up to see what was the matter. The chair with his big book and I with my smokes headed outside to find these two blokes. They came inside and sat at a table and said that they'd chair as soon as they're able. To start with, they said, it's more than not drinking. It's doing your best to fix your sick thinking.
True.
Think, think, think. And the slogans we used help keep the newcomer from getting confused. Step one is a start, they said we should know, but after step two, we'll all be aglow. We make a decision when we get to step three. Step four was real tough, we could all agree. Step five is the one where we let it all out, and after step six and seven, we're left with no doubt. Mark is already looking. When we got to step eight, we made our list. After step nine, we have to persist. After step nine, the promises ring true. We didn't just make that up right out of the blue. After that, it's on with the rest, the things we must do to be our best.
See, I think she should have rewrote it.
Mark has this look on his face.
You know, it could be, you know, 'twas the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And then it would be Saint Sobriety would soon be there. I don't know.
Well, anyway, let's finish the story.
Continue.
They put on their coats and got ready to leave. A pretty good end for this Christmas Eve. As to their names, we only could guess. Must have been Bill W. and Dr. Bob S. The two men hopped into a 35 Ford, and as they pulled out, one of them roared. We leave this message for our sisters and brothers. Trust God, clean house, be of service to others. For all of you people, I just want to say, have a nice holiday, but don't drink today.
Ta-da.
That is the end of the story.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. And now Mark is going to say.
Great.
I think that was a little too twee for Mark. I thought it was pretty cute. But anyway, that is our Christmas story, you know, for the Christmas show. So there you go.
So, Shelley.
We're the star of the show.
If you could have the perfect Christmas, what would your perfect Christmas entail?
Why are you asking me that?
Why not?
A lovely meal with family that doesn't last too long. And then spending the afternoon with you. That's about it. I mean, we have this. I get a perfect Christmas. Okay. Our Christmases always have something spectacularly weird happen. Or things go wrong. Or something goes pear-shaped. Something always happens. But as long as I'm with you, then it's a good Christmas.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow, that's a Fran story.
Yeah, you know what? I thought her
I had
perfect
a puppy rolled into it.
I thought her perfect Christmas would involve gobs and gobs of Amazon gift cards.
Well, yes, but I wasn't focused on the presents. You said, what would my Christmas be like? I wasn't thinking presents. I was thinking, like, the day itself.
Well, your perfect Christmas. Apparently, though, I'm going to save a lot of money because her perfect Christmas involves zero presents. So.
No. I want Amazon gift cards. I already said that.
What did Indian give her? A second ago, her perfect Christmas was just...
anywhere she could be with you.
Yeah, and food with family for not too long. I'm like, I got all that. I'm already covered. All
right, fine.
For the perfect Christmas. I see, though, now she's like, well, I kind of want an imperfect Christmas.
I didn't know you were
Christmas
talking
now.
About presents.
Mark, what would your perfect Christmas
Mine involves be? Family and a lodge and snow and...
Snow?
Fire in a fireplace. Yeah, something mountainous.
Snow.
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 Snow. Snow. Snow.
We I think I had my snow quota.
Hand in hair with snow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the mountain lodge thing with, you know, the fireplace snow. And chestnuts roasting and Jack Frost in the nose and, you know, it's a song. No, but it's with family and it's spending time with them. And if there happens to be a good ball game on in the background, I won't object.
You want to hear trivia?
Yeah, let's hear some trivia.
The Christmas song.
Yes.
Written by Mel Torme.
Okay.
The most popular, according to most things, it's really overall the most popular Christmas song there is. Written by Mel Torme in 5 minutes on the phone with a guy who is playing the piano in the background. He goes, yeah, I can write words to that. 5 minutes, most popular song ever. That's a good 5 minutes worth of work.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good per hour cap rate at what he's been paid for that song.
Yeah. He wrote that for a long, 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 long time.
Yep. How about you, Bruce?
Man, you know, there's, I mean, perfect Christmas. I'd probably be in, like, Cancun. I don't need, you know what? Snow's okay. I don't need there to be snow, though. I'd take
Christmas.
Warmth. I'd take warmth. I'm okay with warmth.
That's what the roaring fire is for. No. I spent my childhood in snowy places for Christmas. I've had enough white Christmases. I'm good.
Never had one. Even on the couple of times we've gone up to visit my aunt in Northern California, and she doesn't live in an area where it snows a lot, but no snow when I went. Mm-hmm. Not had a white Christmas ever. But then again, well, actually, that's not true. I had plenty of white Christmases. Just the wrong kind of snow.
It's like that in the mirror.
Yeah, the wrong kind of snow. I don't know. I mean, I'm on the whole family thing as well. Mm-hmm. I think my perfect Christmas, my grandson would be about 5 or 6. Because, you know, walking, talking, and understand everything they say and really excited about Santa. Which in a weird kind of way is kind of strange because we go out of our way to incredibly lie to children. And then when they figure it out, they're like, how can I believe anything these guys say? You know, but Santa, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy.
But we don't care by the time they hit their 20s.
Yeah. Participation trophy.
Oh, and Mariah Carey has to show up and sing All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That, you know what? I'll tell you what. Perfect Christmas for me.
Yeah.
Disney World. With Mariah Carey performing that song. Oh, yeah.
Just shoot me now.
George Michaels comes in from the side and sings a duet with her for Last Christmas. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, my sister's planned a really good Christmas day this year.
Oh, yeah?
It's an all-day thing. The rules are you show up in your finest Christmas jammies. And it's an all-day gig, and we're doing food and... She's got Yahtzee and Monopoly and the 9/11 game. And
the what game? What?
Jenga.
The what?
Oh, jeez.
The 9/11 game.
What's the 9/11 game?
Jenga.
Oh, man.
You
okay.
Send your mail to Mark.
Mail to Mark on that one.
Oh, come on. That's just funny. I don't care who you are.
Well, you know me. I'm one for the humor. Uh-huh. I totally get it.
Uh-huh.
Some people may find that a little insensitive if they lost people in that. I didn't happen to lose anyone in that.
I saw the look on Shelley's face. She was like, trying to...
It took me a minute to figure that out.
Yeah. Be like the mattress store commercial where they knocked over
gosh.
Two things of mattresses.
Two towers of mattresses?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That was also funny.
Well, I can't remember what comedian it was, but
I didn't say it was in good taste. I said it was funny.
It wasn't that long.
There is a difference. That's true.
It wasn't that long after that where there was a couple of New York comedians that were joking about it and are like, look, this is what we do. And yeah. this is what we do after tragic things. Yeah. They're like, you know what? Life's going to go on. And
sorry, folks. That's who I am.
Yeah.
That's why we have guys like Howard in the world who just don't listen to us anymore.
No, Howard Stern?
Yeah. No, Howard.
Who's probably still listening. And just
Well, I'm comment. Thinking Howard Stern. Because no. Howard Stern would crack that joke in a second.
He still listens.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Yeah. Howard, Hi, Howard.
Howard Stern.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, probably both of them. You know.
I sincerely doubt Howard Stern listens to this show.
Oh, you don't even know. He's a closet alcoholic.
How do you know?
Well, I don't technically, but
he
I
actually,
doubt it.
He actually writes in under the nom de plume of I am.
Oh.
Somebody.
Somebody.
He writes in under somebody. So, so you're going to have jammies all day, games
jammies,
all day.
Games, meals. And because it's on Sunday this year, it's the second to the last Sunday of the NFL football season. So we'll have a game on in the background, which will be fine with me.
So how about this? Yeah, I know we talked about before, what was your favorite Christmas gift ever? What was your favorite Christmas ever? You know, just your favorite Christmas. You know, where whatever the scenario was, you didn't necessarily get the best gift, but all around it was just your best Christmas.
2001.
Okay. Why?
I still, to this day, when I think of the words Christmas morning, I have this mental picture of these two little kids, the tops of their heads, going boom, 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 as they run into the bedroom. And we can't see anything because our bed is like 4 feet off the ground. And all we see is the tops of their heads going, Santa came, Santa came. And they're running into the bedroom. I love that.
I hear this thing. I'm sleeping. I hear this saying, Daddy! I look to the side. I don't really see anything because we had a very, very tall bed. Daddy! What? Santa was here! I'm like, oh, crap. And you know, little kids, you know, they're 5 years old or whatever. It's like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
They're up ready
to go.
They're
raring to go. You just went to bed 2.5 hours ago after you spent all night trying to put that present together.
It was the scooters.
Oh, yes.
The Razor scooters. Remember those?
Yes.
Yeah. He had to put those together.
How about you, Mark?
It was like 1980, 1981, one of those 2 years right around there. Whole family got together. You know, I was at the age where things I was using were still working.
Yes.
I remember my brother and I split an ounce of Coke and had it for Christmas and had the family there and just really had a marvelous evening that went until about the 27th.
Wow.
So that one. And then in 92, 93 was fun because my dad was still there and, you know, and we just had a really nice time.
I think for me, it's one of two. There was a year when my aunt and uncle had moved up to Yreka, California, a really small town. Mm-hmm. And my mom and dad over the years have really been able to surprise them a couple of times. And, you know, back then, you know, there was no caller ID. There was nothing like that. So we had gotten up to like Mount Shasta. We were in like Shasta City or something. And my mom called my aunt, you know, just calling her to, oh, I'm wrapping all these gifts. I'm getting ready. I'm making shortbread. I'm doing this. You know, they don't know we're 25 minutes from their house. And I remember we had this Mazda 626, and it had a sunroof. And as we're driving up to my aunt's house, I am up through the sunroof, which is, incredibly dangerous in case you hit something. That would have been a Christmas to remember. Yeah. You know, my headless body. You know, but you know, my aunt and you know, and everyone was just like incredibly surprised by that. That was very cool. It was also very cool because they had put in a Walmart in Wairika, and I went to go shopping at Walmart on Christmas Eve. And you walk right up to the register. You know, I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
And they had every register open. They had like 12 registers open. There was
nobody there.
20 people in the entire store. You know, it was crazy. And then probably one of the other ones would have been one of the mornings when, you know, my dad was still alive, my brother was alive and everything. But we went down several times and served breakfast to the homeless. At a Union Rescue Mission, and I even took Courtney with me, and Courtney was serving up food, and she must have been 4 or 5, and I mean, she's helping put plates up, and it was just a really good giving thing. You know, we went and did that, and then we came back and did presents after that, and I really enjoyed that, because I remember Courtney was saying how I should take some of my gifts and take them back down there and give them to those kids down there. And I was just like, oh, it was so something. Now, if you could engineer I know we talked about, you know, what your perfect holiday is. If you could engineer something, if you could make it, And the gloves were off. You could do anything. You had any money that you needed to do. You had anything available to you. You know, what would you do? If you could do anything, like, you know, you had said, oh, I'd like to be somewhere where there's snow. I mean, you know, would it be, you know, in Aspen? Would it be in Switzerland? If you could just do anything, for Christmas, what would you arrange? Dead silence.
Yeah, I don't know.
How about you, Shelly? Because I think I know a couple things that you would do, for sure.
If I could engineer anything.
Yes.
I would fly the entire family to a paddle boat that I've rented, a steamboat, big giant, you know, the big steamboats.
Yep.
Like the Mark Twain?
Yes.
So you're on the Mighty
We'll go in circles around Disneyland?
We'll end up in the Mississippi, but we're going to go down the Ohio first.
Okay.
Down the Ohio River, we'll end up in the Mississippi.
Finish off with a rockin' New Year's Eve in New Orleans.
Yes.
Yes.
All the way down and around. All the way down. The whole family. And we'll rent out this big, giant steamboat. Yeah.
Well, okay. How about
there,
you, Mark?
I'm there. I don't know. You know, that's a tough question to answer because it's... I've done a lot of things in life. Not necessarily wrapped around Christmas, but I've done them.
Right.
And, you know, it's like... And I look back on some of them, and it was just a giant, colossal waste of money for the most part. And,
You know, but you don't have to worry. But the money is not an object here. You can do whatever you want.
It's not about the money. It's about the fact that, you know, it's... I mean, I think I already said it because it's... Right now, at this time in my life, it's just about having time with family and being able to hang out with your family and close friends and just, you know, just spend time. I mean, it's not a whole lot... I mean, there's still stuff I want to do, but there's not a whole lot out there that I need to do anymore.
You know,
I mean, I want to go, you know, some lavish dinner. It doesn't matter. I'm going to eat the same measured amount that I eat anyway. And, you know, I've worked, I've played, I've done all that stuff. So, but I've definitely joined Shelly for that New Orleans portion of her trip because that's just...
Well, you'd be very welcome.
That's just a game.
Have you guys ever gone online and looked in the area where Dollywood is, and they have like these...
Yeah, it's the place that just burned down.
Yeah, I'll just burn
down. They have like these massive log cabin things. But these aren't like... These
Not
aren't
anymore.
Like, These aren't like log cabins. These are like these like these amazing.
These are log lodges.
Yeah. And they're like you. Yeah, they're like a lodge. I mean, you could take. They have some of them sleep like 40 people, and I think that I would have everybody come. Shelley's extended family, you know, like you know, your mom and Jerry and your brother and Leslie and my mom and the kids, and just take everybody there. Martha Stewart will be cooking. So that no one has to cook. Martha Stewart's going to be cooking and decorating. Well, I got to tell you, there's going to be other cooking there too, though.
Okay.
Bobby Flay is going to be there. Emerald's going to be there. I'm going to, maybe all the Iron Chefs will be there. You know, money's no object. You guys are just making.
If you're having all the Iron Chefs there, you're going to need to stock a very well stocked bar because Morimoto ain't going to do crap without being a little bit tanked up.
Fine. They can get it in probably Vitaly, too, or whatever his name is. Guy Fieri, everybody's going to be there cooking. And but along with what Mark was saying, the thing is to get all of the family in one spot, which, you know what? I mean, I could go down the Mississippi on a paddle wheel.
Are we
going
to bring him?
Yeah, I guess we will.
Okay. That's right, because as long as you're with him, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, you notice how quick that changed when I said Amazon cards. You know, all of a sudden that was like,
yeah. I just
and if money was no object, I'd just like put like $500,000 on an Amazon card and give it to Shelley.
Woohoo!
Never see her again.
Pate!
She'll shopping. Be gone forever.
I'll be gone forever.
Actually, I wouldn't mind, to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind having that be like the after Christmas function where you have some gigantic place like that and you get all of your program friends to go, you know, the after family thing, like just some wild thing with just like all your good friends from the program. They all come, they all hang out together.
Yeah. They call conventions.
Yeah. Why don't we ever do like conventions like in cold, snowy places?
Because nobody wants to take a vacation in a cold, snowy place unless they're skiing. But most
people
don't
ski. There's a lot of people that would.
Yeah, but most people don't ski, so that's why we end up in Laughlin.
Even I skied.
I didn't.
I've skied.
You know, the one time I went. Matter of fact, the one time I went skiing was very close to Christmas, and we went to this place in Yosemite called Badger Pass.
Yep.
I knew nothing about skiing. I had a friend. My friend Dennis, this guy is still riding bicycle motocross. He's 55 years old. I mean, you know, was a good surfer, was a good motocrosser, was even a good skier. He's pretty much good at everything he tried. So we go there, and he's giving me the instructions on the bunny hill, you know, how to do this, how to snow plow, and he goes, let's go up the lift. And I'm like, okay, you know, I've been going on these tow bar things, you know. We go up the lift. And I'm looking off the side of the lift, and there's blood on the snow. And I'm like, I don't know if that's good. And we go on this thing that is moguls the entire way down. And he takes off. He's like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. You can see him just like popping, popping, pop. And I'm like, I go 25 feet, eat it. I go 25, and I am trying to not go straight. Because I can't pick up too much speed.
Right.
And I am trying to go side to side, of which I'm having guys go past me. And incredible. I was a fail video waiting to happen. It took me like an hour and a half to get down this hill.
Yep.
Crazy.
Somebody's here. The doggies are alerting us. Dogs are alerting.
So, Shelly.
What?
What would you like to say as your Christmas final words?
No matter what you're doing for Christmas, what you'd like to do for Christmas, what you may now be able to do for Christmas, keep in mind that without this program of recovery, none of that will happen.
Ooh, good one.
Got to get some recovery in there somewhere.
Mark?
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
God blesses everyone.
I love how the tallest guy in the room says Tiny Tim's light.
And all I want for Christmas is you.
Is that now or is that from last Christmas?
Don't want a lot for Christmas.
That's good because he ain't getting much.
You ain't getting none.
There is just one thing I need. She loves the warbling part.
I'm like, pick a note. Pick a note. Look at the score. Find the note.
Did he find the lost note?
He found all the notes that ever existed everywhere.
So, Mark, we have a bitchin' sponsor.
We do. That would be My 12-Step Store, which is in West Hollywood. Also, great website, my12stepstore.com. You can go up there, and it is available for all your gift-giving needs for the holiday and the other 364 days out of the year to purchase all the nice recovery-oriented stuff that is out there.
Yes. Shelly, there's a shirt company.
TerminallyUniqueApparel.com. Go there.
.com.
Buy lots of fun shirts. Please and thank you.
Fun shirts.
Fun shirts. Mark, we have friends in the Inland Empire. And back east.
Yeah, you can go to 12stepgazette.com and step12magazine.com. Both publications are available online for you to peruse. Go check them out. And if you like them, go ahead and fire in and get a subscription. And you can support those who support us.
Awesome. Shelly?
Yes?
People listen to the show.
Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you're a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us with our demographics. If you're not a member, you'll have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you
deep
can.
Deep breath.
You can like old shows. You can listen to old shows. You can leave topic suggestions and comments. You can put us on playlists for your party needs. And you can follow us so you get automatic updates when we post the show.
That's awesome. If you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy to join Podomatic.
Easily?
Easily. You can easily join Podomatic.
Really easily.
I used to know a guy named Lance Easily.
Easily like Sunday morning.
I started a joke.
Okay, that's long.
It got Robin stuck in Gibb. His head. It got stuck in his head.
Robin Gibb.
Yes, I know that, but where did it come from? I haven't heard it in probably a decade.
It just came to his head about we're at strange cadences.
Yes. Yeah. So it's really easy to join Podomatic. You just sign, log in with Facebook, and if you're Facebook friendly, it logs you right in. If you would like to like the Recovery Radio Show fan page, you can do that if you're on Facebook. If you'd like to join the secret group, which is kind of hard to find because it's a secret, if you message Bill Piper or Shelley Burnett or ask at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, we will add you Toot Sweet.
Toot Sweet. The marvelous musical treat that you eat.
There you go. I knew that would happen. Then if you... would like to send us an email. It's recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send us topics there. You can send us a jingle. If you'd like to make a jingle for us, you can send it there. We will use it. If you are a recovery band or recovery entertainer, you can send us some MP3s, which is a preferred format for us to use as lead out entertainment. Send us a picture or two to make a clickable link with. You also need to send us a web address you want that clickable link to go to, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or Reverb Nation or SoundCloud or something where you sell your stuff. We'll be more than happy to do that for free.
And fun.
And let's see. There's videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Aren't you going to say it?
Shelly?
Yes?
Who's the lead-out music by for Christmas?
Amp, another misguided prophet.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it. Be the example and have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
And whatnot. Yes, Merry Christmas.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. When I speak, I only give you facts. That's because I want to help, not turn my back. So when I speak about my addiction, just know that grip is vicious. Yes, my story is real, not fictitious. So if you're listening, hey, you really need some help. Hear my words carefully, cause I done been through hell. Total cars, gun violence, I'm a lost soul. While I'm still alive, only the Lord knows. While I'm writing this song, yeah, I feel them all around me. Yeah, them demons wanna hold me back and then drown me. 23rd Psalm, read it repeatedly. When them devils crawl, no way they see me. I thank the Lord for treating a murder was on my mind. Ski mask on my head, just waiting for the time. Then I see my phone ring, it's her hitting my line. She said I sound different, the devil's in my mind. Oh Lord, help me find a way out. Mentally, I'm stuck in a bad place now. My heart's lost, I'm reaching out for you right now. I'm torn, struggling with my life now. Oh Lord, help me find a way out. Mentally, I'm stuck in a bad place now. My heart's lost, I'm reaching out for you right now. I'm torn, struggling with my life now. If you need help, go get help, don't be ashamed. I wanna save as many people as I can, man. Slept in parking lots, dodging cops, I was hot. Planning for tomorrow? Really, I think not. Pain and tears, what I seen looking in the mirror. Wipe the water from my eyes so I can see it clear. Friends and role models dead and gone, not here. So the conscience in my soul gone, disappear. I'm putting trust in my God, so I walk with no fear. No longer the driver of my life, I let go and he steers. When I'm hurt, I just pray, he touches and heals. When I'm angry, he listens and knows how I feel. When he speaks, he says, sit down, child, and be still. I know he sees that fire in me while holding my steel. If I get them moving crazy, it might get real. Read the 70th Psalm and it gave me chills. Oh, Lord, help me find a way out. Mentally, I'm stuck in a bad place now. My heart's lost, I'm reaching out for you right now. I'm torn, struggling with my life now.